Hi everyone, this is Dr. Wes Blakeslee. This month our topic is digital dentistry, and we are honored to have with us as our guest Dr. John Farah. Dr. Farah is a graduate of the University of Michigan, earning a PhD in dental materials and aerospace engineering in 1972 and a DDS degree in 1978. He has taught at the University of Florida and University of Michigan Schools of Dentistry and currently maintains a dental practice focusing on cosmetic dentistry. It's called Inspire Dental in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Dr. Farah co-founded the Dental Advisor in 1983 and continues his role as editor of the publication to this day. He lectures both nationally and internationally on cosmetic dentistry, the future in CAD/CAM dentistry, new products and techniques applied to restorative and cosmetic dentistry, and best-kept secrets to successful dentistry. Dr. Farah is a member of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry and the Michigan and American Dental Associations. He is an avid runner and has completed over 100 marathons, which I can't believe. John, thanks for being here today and welcome to the podcast forum.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
John, may we go on first-name basis today just to kind
Absolutely.
Of speed this along, because we've got a lot of material, a lot of very interesting material to go over today. And I'd like to kind of divide our discussion between digital impression techniques and CAD/CAM dentistry. And the first question I have for you this morning is really a two-part question. And here's the question. The question is, how can digital impressioning technology enhance one's practice? And what are some of the considerations in capturing digital impressions?
Okay, how can digital dentistry enhance one's practice? I think probably one, it can and it will cut down on remakes because of the accuracy. There are fewer areas where errors can happen. For example, when one takes an impression, and impression materials are excellent these days. But, you know, once you take an impression, you ship it. Or even during the impression process, you know, if the patient moves, you move, you know, things can happen. And then if you ship the impression and it gets into the hands of the laboratory, there are several steps that are involved there where some things can go awry. With the digital dentistry, you know, you have a patient, and once you have a clear field, what you're doing is really scanning the tooth, scanning the area you're working on. And once you acquire the scan, that scan is saved, and you have it in a file. And really not much can happen between that and the time that file is emailed to the lab. You know, outside, of course, I suppose you could lose the file, misplace it, but outside of that, there's no distortion. In other words, there is no one handling it. You know, you're eliminating the personal touch that, you know, that can introduce errors, I suppose, in a laboratory setting. So that's the big advantage. I think you have reliable impressions. They're repeatable. They're storable. Let's say that the crown was lost and you wanted to redo the crown. All you have to do is get the file. You don't have to go and find an impression. You don't have to save the impression. You know, you don't have to save models, for example. So there are many ways where digital dentistry, you know, can save time and, you know, probably money ultimately.
Yeah.
What was
John,
the second part of your question?
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just wanted to know how this could enhance, you know, say my practice or one of the listeners' practices. And what are the considerations in capturing these impressions? You know, I've been in dentistry 31 years. I'm still using, you know, the traditional, you know, impression materials and custom trays and so on. But, you know, what are some of the considerations in capturing digital impressions versus traditional? Or is it the same, you know, technique as far as isolation and so on? Are there any differences?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's a very good question because digital dentistry really relies on that. If you can't get a nice dry field, you will have a problem. So, of course, if you keep the preparations supra-gingival, then it's a no-brainer. You know, usually you can scan the area without any problem, but many of the preparations are not. Some of them are subgingival. And when it is subgingival, you really have to isolate properly, and you also have to be able to get a dry field. And you can use, you know, retraction core to isolate, like many of us do in more difficult cases. You could use a laser, a diode laser, where you can maybe remove some of the tissues to provide a clearer margin. And in some simple cases, you can use a gingival retraction paste, you know, like Expacel or Praxodent. These are also helpful. But I think the most important thing is to really be able to see a clear margin, because in you're taking a picture of the tooth, of the prepared tooth, and you need to be able to see the margin. So the margin has to be easily identifiable. And so in most cases, you don't want a kind of a chisel edge margin, a very thin margin. You want more of a chamfer, a little bit more bulk, so the margin, or a rounded chamfer, so the margin is easily identifiable. On rare occasions, when you can't achieve a dry, clear area, I think taking an impression works better. So in spite of the many, many advantages that digital impressioning has, there are instances where you still have to resort to an impression material. And because sometimes it's hard to get a dry field, a completely dry field, and an impression material with the proper viscosity can displace some moisture, and you can obtain a good impression. So a lot of times people ask me, does it mean if you have a digital impressioning unit, a scanner, does it mean you throw away all your impression materials? I would say no.
Okay, another tool on the shelf, but certainly a very interesting tool. John, I'm an average dentist. You know, I've been practicing a few years. If I wanted to introduce this technology to my office, what's the number one obstacle I would face in trying to get this in my office in a relatively short time?
I think the number one obstacle is, well, it's usually the dentist first. So, but assuming that the dentist wants to introduce that new technology, so the number two obstacle is the staff. You have to really have staff that is on board. You have to train them properly, and you have to you need them to basically buy into the technology, because once they buy into the technology, it can really simplify much of the process that a dentist has to go through. And, you know, there are several systems out there, even though they have similarities, but there are also, you know, marked differences among these systems. I don't know if you want me to compare or say something about these systems, because it definitely has something to do with acquiring a system. I would
I'd like you to. I think our listeners would be interested to, you know, share in your experiences. I mean, that's what you do.
I mean, we're fortunate with the dental advisor. We're really very fortunate to have all four systems that are out on the market, and we use them pretty much daily. I mean, there are few days where I've actually used all four systems on different individuals. But I don't think there is a day that goes by where I don't use at least one or two of the digital systems that we have. And the four systems that are out there now, two of them have a milling unit with them. And, for example, the CERAC, which has been around for many, many years, and E4D. Both of these, you can scan the restoration, and you can mill the restoration, and you can mill whether it's an inlay only or crown. So theoretically, you can have that restoration ready that same day. So it could be a one appointment procedure. The reason I say theoretically is, you know, sometimes these procedures can take a little bit longer. Sometimes it might be easier to take an impression on a patient, scan it later, and have the assistant basically mill the crown, glaze it, and have it ready for the next day, for example. We do that quite a bit at the office. The other two systems, which is the LAVA chairside oral scanner, which is a 3M system, it's also called COS, and the iTero, both of these systems are just they're scanners. You scan the preparation, you scan the arch, and you email it to the laboratory. And then the laboratory basically fabricates the restoration on a model. So for the first two systems, where you can actually mill the restorations and fabricate them in office, you even have to have a higher acceptance rate by the staff, or cooperation from the staff, because you know they're more involved in it. You know, you don't want to be the dentist, does not really want to be the one, for the most part, milling the restorations, glazing them, and even designing them. You know, if you can train your staff to do that, then they become very cost effective, because while they're milling the restoration and designing it and maybe later on glazing it and so on and so forth, you can be seeing other patients. So your time is much, much more efficiently used. With the other two systems where you're just scanning the restorations, it's kind of similar, but it's a little bit simpler. But you need really less staff involvement, because all what it takes is just scanning of the restorations. You're not milling it. You're not fabricating it. You're emailing it to a laboratory or to a milling center. And in that case, the dentist can scan the restoration, and I usually do. But you could also, if you had a staff member, you could train them to scan that restoration after you prepare it and isolate it and so on. So I would say when you decide to sum it up, when you decide to acquire any one of these systems, you really have to include your staff on it. You have to have them on board. You have to get them trained. And yes, there is a learning curve, like with anything, but it's not unsurmountable.
Sure. John, I'm just curious. I've only seen these at meetings. I don't really know anyone in my area who's using digital impressioning right now, although I know there are several people. I don't know them personally. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to capture an image three-dimensionally of the prepared tooth, and I imagine we can also do this with the opposing arch. How do you capture or produce a registration of the bite? Is that done with the same scanner? How is that done?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's an area where it has actually recently gotten even better, or easier, I should say. And with all of these four units, the improvement is now really all you have to do is have the patient bite in centric occlusion, and you put the scanner on the side of the teeth, put it between the cheek and the teeth, and you scan the bite. And that's all that needs to be done. I think that with these systems, I find they're all, you can do it with all of them, but I find that the COS, the chairside oral scanner, has a little bit smaller head, and so it's easier to insert, in tighter areas, but it's achievable. it is achievable with the other systems as well.
Okay. John, how do the labs feel about working with digital impressioning technology? Do they like it? Do they hate it? What's their feel on this?
Initially, I think the labs are a little bit resistant because, again, it presents to them a change in their routine and what they do. But what we have found, and we work with a number of the laboratories, what we have found that once the lab, just like a dental office, once they start using a system and they get used to it and they get their staff trained to use it, they're very much on board. They like the digital impressioning system. It really saves them time and money because there are less steps involved. They're not pouring models themselves. The models, for example, with the COS or the iTero, they get them from the 3M or the Cadent companies. So the models are shipped to the lab directly, so they don't have to pour a model and deal with all the, messy aspects of preparing the models, trimming, and so on and so forth. So it simplifies the procedures for the laboratory. And on top of it all, they have the accuracy, and they're not dealing with impressions where when they're pouring the model, there's always a potential for the impression to tear, for example. It's harder to identify the margin. So in many ways, it simplifies the process for the laboratories, and it works to their advantage. So it is definitely, for most laboratories, it is definitely a positive step.
John, will these systems reduce our costs in our office? Will they reduce our lab fees, or is it going to be a wash?
It's going to be mostly a wash, I think, at this point anyway. Whenever you introduce new technology, the technology is costly. These systems, for example, the CERAC and the E4D with the ones where, you can actually mill the restorations, you're talking about roughly $120,000. With the other two systems where you're only scanning, you're talking roughly about $25,000. And in addition to that, every one of these systems will charge you a monthly fee, kind of a maintenance upgrading type of fee. And with the COS and the iTero, they also charge you a per scan fee. So every time, the more scans you get, the lower the fee is. So there are some fees involved with these systems, and whatever you save on the impression materials does not necessarily, balance what you pay otherwise in fees. But I think potentially where the savings can be is in not redoing things. I think normally what we found with these systems, you get very good fit, much less, much fewer adjustments when it comes to occlusal adjustments or, contacts type of adjustment. The contacts are usually right on. The fit is good. And the other thing is, let's assume a patient, loses a crown or fractures a restoration and you still have the file, then you don't have to get the patient back in, retake the impression, and so on and so forth. You could theoretically just reproduce that crown easily and have it ready. So there are other ways, I suppose, you can save money.
Seems to reduce the emotional cost, I think, both for the team and the patients. I know our patients hate impressions. We have a lot of gaggers. We have people that are claustrophobic. And, I'm thinking as we record this interview, of all the patients I've taken impressions on, specifically patient Monday with a traumatic brain injury, and I prepared 8 and 9 for two crowns, and she was fine with everything until we got the tray in her mouth, and I thought she was going to fly out the window. It was very emotional for her having that. So that's something I think that we need also to mm-hmm. give some consideration to what's the patient experience with some
I think, Wes, that's a very good point, really, because what we found, we did a study a couple of years ago, and we did two crowns on over 100 patients. So one of the crowns was done on an impression, by taking an impression the traditional way, and the other one we used the scan. In this case, we used the COS scanner. And in addition to the fit, to the better fit, we found that 75% of the patients preferred the scan over the impression, and only 12% really preferred the impression. The other 18%, they said they could go either way. So still, I mean, 75% of the patients preferring the scan is substantial. And another point that you brought up is the gagging. For people who gag, the scanning is much, much simpler. In fact, I remember when we first purchased the COS unit, I had a patient coming in, and she was a severe gagger. And I told my assistant, Debbie, that I was going to scan her tooth. And she looked at me and like, are you kidding? You know, she's not going to be able to tolerate that. So we ended up scanning the tooth for this patient who was a heavy gagger whenever you took an impression. And I'll tell you, she loved it. She just loved it. And nowadays, I can't do any procedure on her, but if it's a crown or an onlay, she'll always, you know, ask me whether I'm going to use the scanner or not. So, for scanners, for gaggers, it really helps to scan because they don't have something in their mouth for long and you can stop. You know, once you put an impression in a patient's mouth, you're kind of stuck for at least 3-4 minutes. Whereas with when you're scanning the tooth, you can stop and start over again, and it's not a problem.
That's a great point. John, we have a few minutes left. I'd just like to touch back on some of the CAD-CAM systems. What are the differences among the systems today? I know you touched on about 3 or 4 of them during our talk on digital impressioning, but if you could just briefly review the systems, the 3MSB LAVA, the iTero, mm-hmm. the CEREC, and the E4D, just for the listeners, please.
Yeah, sure. The four systems, the main difference is two systems have a milling machine with them right now, and two systems don't, and that might change in the future. You never know. So I think the simpler one for any office is to get into just the scanners so that you don't have to mill the restorations. These are less costly. And the two systems are the COS, which is a 3M unit. The other one is iTero, which is a Cadent unit. And the cost of these two systems is roughly the same, about $25,000. And then there are additional costs, as I mentioned, when you scan. But I think this 3M system is a video camera. Okay, so it's a continuous, you're taking about 25 pictures per second. The wand is small, but you do have to use a little bit of powder. You have to spray a little bit of powder on the teeth in order to be able to capture the data. It's really not a problem. I don't see it as an impediment at all, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it does have, like anything, a learning curve. With the iTero, you don't have to use powder. That's a big advantage of the iTero. The iTero has been around for a few years. It's a good unit. It is helpful in that, you know, it kind of directs you as to what to do as you're scanning. I think the results that we were able to obtain with the iTero matched very well or compared very well with the COS. The main really slight disadvantage of the iTero is the handpiece tends to be larger than the wand that you use with the COS. But, you know, I find in most cases you kind of get used to it, but with people with small mouths, that is a disadvantage. The other two units, the CEREC and the E4D, you know, they have the, 2-3 years ago they were more dissimilar And what happens with companies, you know, they kind of copy each other. So nowadays, they're more and more similar. They do have the milling unit, and I think the CERAC, I think it has the track record. It's been around for 16, 18 years. It's a much better unit than it, what it used to be 16 years ago, because I remember using the first generation, and it just was not very good. But nowadays, you know, you can basically scan the tooth, mill it, and the size of the wand for both of these units are very similar. I think the E4D has maybe more bells and whistles than the CERAC AC. I think the CERAC AC is a little bit more straightforward. So if you're the kind of person who likes a lot of bells and whistles and a lot like to change a lot of parameters fairly easily, I think the E4D has that slight advantage. One slight disadvantage of the E4D, you have to take more scans with it. Normally, you have to get 9 scans of an area of a tooth, whereas with the CERAC, you can get by with 3 or 4. So some dissimilarities, but a lot of similarities among these systems.
John, you mentioned before in our previous conversation that with the E4D and CERAC, you're able to scan the elastomeric impression. Is there any advantage to this?
Yes, there is. That's a good thing to bring up. We find the big advantage is there are some occasions where, you know, you have a real hard time isolating the patient. You know, let's say if it is subgingival, you can't get a good scan on a patient. And, you know, some patients just salivate a lot and so on and so forth. So what we do is you just take an impression, you take a quick impression, let the patient go, you temporize them, and then have the assistants pour the impression and scan the model, and they can mill the crown or the restoration and glaze it and finish it. They can do that all, in most cases, in one day and literally have the patient come back the next day or the following day. So I think really it does save time, actually, because sometimes, you know, people are in a hurry these days, even though you tell them it's a one appointment procedure. If they're sitting in your chair and you're doing a crown, let's say, and it ends up taking 2 to 2.5 hours for them to be there, that's a long time. Whereas if you just prepare the tooth and say, come back tomorrow for 10, 15 minutes, because you can prepare the tooth and take the impression, I would say in under an hour in most cases. So that's the advantage of really being able to scan the model the next day and mill it and have the crown ready. It probably saves the office time and saves the patient time as well.
Time is everything today. John, we're actually out of time. Unfortunately, I could go for about another 20 minutes, but on behalf of the Academy of General Dentistry, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule again to be with us. There's so much great information in this interview today. I've taken a lot of notes as we have been speaking. I know you have a special offer to our listeners, which, of course, we never expected, but we always appreciate it. And I'd also like to have your contact information. I met you through a course, a 7-hour course with our study club. We got a ton of great material from you. That's where we first met several years ago. So, again, the special offer, if you would, and your contact information at the Dental Advisor.
Yeah, I think we have a great website. It's dentaladvisor.com. And there is just a ton of information there on materials, on techniques, and so on. And anyone can access it, and we actually have kind of a limited free subscription for that. But for AGD members, we are offering a 50% off the of the subscription, of the premium subscription. And all what they have to do is use the code AGD2010. So by getting on there using that code, you get a 50% off for 1 year. And I think your listeners should try it. We also have a CatCam corner where we answer questions that people send us fairly routinely. It has, you know, a lot of good, excellent information, and it's very up-to-date and keeps us kind of informed. And, yeah, if you need anything else in the future, please let me know.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure. And, again, John, on behalf of the AGD, thank you for making time for us today.